This is Doctoring Up Design, the official design hardware podcast. I'm Josh Cooperman. Today, we are continuing our conversation about safety and security in residential design. This topic is not being discussed to scare you or to make anyone uncomfortable. To the contrary, there are a few ideas here that are extremely important and incredibly timely. Here's the idea. We live in a civilized society, but not necessarily a safe one. Weather patterns have changed, and it would be crazy not to address those changes by preparing for the worst possible outcomes, right? Technological advancements have made the modern American home stronger, more efficient, more comfortable, and highly performative. And it continues to get better. Our society has become more dangerous. It's just the way it is. So if you are a homeowner listening to this and safety is important to you, keep listening. If you're a designer, architect, or builder, you have an absolutely remarkable opportunity to increase your firm's profile, create a new value proposition, a brand extension that will set you apart by offering something that is not widely offered by the design trade at large. You will generate more revenue in the process. If this is of interest to you, keep listening. On the show today, you are going to hear from Garrett Wynn and Matt Terry from SafeRoom. We are discussing the inner workings for creating an inner sanctum. Seriously, you don't have to be a superhero, supervillain, actor, or tycoon to have one of these in your home. Having a dedicated SafeRoom is not a cheap proposition, but it's not out of the realm of possibility either. What is your safety peace of mind and overall security worth? The answer is different for everyone. It's personal. You have to be realistic about it, and it starts with an education. And you are going to get that education right here, right after this. For half a century, Accurate Lock and Hardware has been dedicated to providing the finest American-made locks and hardware solutions. Accurate Lock and Hardware fuses old-world craftsmanship with modern technology to create architectural hardware products of uncompromising quality. Introducing a stunning collection from renowned designer Tom Felicia, like the Henderson. Elegant beauty through a versatile array of faceted jewel-like rounds, square, and hexagon knobs, as well as two levers in hexagon and round design. Carrera, a premium sculptural lever and knob inspired by the back detail of the classic Porsche Carrera. Aurora, a variety of knobs and levers that feature textured faces inspired by Felicia's textiles and wall covering collections. Granby, with timeless beauty, featuring a more classic knob and lever that plays into Felicia's approach to creating designs that feel timely, yet timeless. Design Hardware is where you will find brands blazing new trails, like those from Accurate Lock and Hardware, featuring the Tom Felicia collection. For more information, visit designhardware.com or at Design Hardware and Flooring on the socials. I'm actually thrilled that we're able to have this conversation. Thank you both for joining. I wanted to do something first before we get going. Do me a favor, introduce yourselves, sort of your mini bio, what you do there, how you started the company, where it's located now, and anything else you think that I probably don't know just from the website alone.
Okay. I'm Garrett Wynn. I'm the COO of SafeRoom. And with me is Matt Terry, who's the Director of Logistics. And we are the team that goes out and assists with installations, performs maintenance, does final hookups, trains the clients on everything. The company actually started in the early 80s with my uncle, Gary Pastor, who has a construction company in the LA area that is still up and running today. He started doing safe rooms just to make a little more secure area for some of the high profile clients. And over time that evolved into more and more time instead of side projects into a legitimate company. And it began really ramping up probably in the early 2000s to where we needed to have a dedicated company just to take this over. We moved it up to Oregon from Burbank in 2017 and redid the corporate structure on the company, have it have saved money on insurance and costs, and we're able to triple our size of our warehouse and our offices to really utilize the space to be able to handle all the projects we had coming in. And from there on, we've just ramped up and are up here in Oregon doing everything that we do for the safe room.
So it's interesting. I didn't know that Gary was your uncle. That is so cool. That's great. So it's really interesting. I was thinking a lot about, I'm glad that you could join me for this conversation because I feel like, you know how if you follow design and architecture, towards the end of every year, beginning of every new year, all of the publications, all the magazines, and you see it on websites and you see it on social, where everyone's like, here are the trends for next year. Here's what's hot. Here's what's not. Here's the list of things that everyone's going to be doing. And it's all just kind of ridiculous because it's all like, here's a great color and here's a great material and here's a great fabric. At the same time, what's been missed in all of this is like the big ideas about, pre-pandemic. It was all about air quality and water quality in the home. Mid-pandemic, it became all about noise pollution. And now we find ourselves where it's like the silent roar of safety and security. And it's interesting too, because I have family that lives in northern Israel. And in talking to my aunt, it's like, they'll spend 20 minutes to 3 hours on any given day in the safe room. Everyone has a safe room. Everyone has a, if you have a kitchen, if you have a bathroom, if you have a living room, you have a safe room because you need it. I think that here in the States, there is this false sense of security. And I say it's false because for a couple of reasons. And by the way, sorry for the long preamble, but I'm
Oh,
leading
no
up to
problem.
something here. I think that many people believe that the police department, your local police force, is there to protect you, and they're not. The police department is a it's to dissuade crime. It's not to stop it because you can't stop it.
Right.
So more and more, especially with the amount of shootings, with the amount of home invasions, with the amount of carjackings, which and break-ins, it's just happening more and more. So I wanted to find out from you, what are you seeing in your space? How do you, this is a multifaceted question, just sort of to launch this off.
Okay.
What are you seeing, and who do you work more with? Do you work more with residential homeowners, or do you work with designers, architects, builders?
Okay. We're seeing an uprise in the need for safe rooms, which obviously good for business, scary for the world around us. And that being said, it's not necessarily the client requesting it. It is at some points. I would say the biggest push for it is the security consultants on site that are trying to protect their clients.
Yeah, their asset.
And they're pushing for this when some clients are like, okay, do I really need this? I don't really want this, but they're pushing it. And sometimes you'll get from general contractors, architects also, people that have worked with us before. They'll recommend us on a project saying, this is a really good idea. We've got a space that we think will work. And we kind of go from there. The big key thing is we don't utilize a space dedicated for a safe room that is just a safe room. Like we don't do the bunkers where we're going to create something where you go and hide out. The safe room is integrated within the home in an existing room, be it a walk-in master closet, laundry room. So it's kind of out of sight until you need it. So you're not losing space. It's not being, it doesn't show up. People walk through and like, oh wow, look, there's a safe room. It's just kind of out of sight, out of mind, and until you need it, you know it's there. And it's mostly residential, but we do also do commercial because some of our clients are have their office spaces that, they need to be protected there as well. We did the UN in Manhattan, and that was a big project for on a government level, which we can do as well. But I would say you're looking at 80% of the business is residential homes, and it bleeds over to those clients' businesses as well.
Right, their corporate offices, and their headquarters. They're getting concerned with their safety at work and at home.
And same thing with the corporate offices. It's just usually a bathroom or something that gets built out, so you really don't see it. You can walk right past it and not even know that that room would be secure under a lockdown.
What are the major components of a, and I want to, as we get into this conversation a little bit more, I want to talk about levels and, stepping it up and going from this level to that level to the next level. But what is the basic requirement for a safe room?
That would be the door that we custom manufacture for each and every project. We don't keep doors on hand for a standard 3080 opening. Everything's built to your specifications, so you don't have to worry about changing things usually on your end. You give us the finish opening and we work with you on that. So the door is the key component, because that's going to be the entry to whatever room that is your safe room. So you want that secure. And so we build that, and that's where we start with. And we were going to talk levels. Our basic door starts at a level three. It'll have a level three ballistic core in it. You can put a level eight ballistic core in it as well. But it's even beefed up a little beyond that, but we just rate it to the level of the core inside. And from there, the rest of your room all depends on your security needs and the level of security that is required. You might just need entry-level resistance, where we will double up studs, add expanded steel mesh, additional plywood to create a barrier that will buy you time when inside. That is done not as often. Usually, everyone at least builds out to a level three ballistic room. So you're talking the walls now are ballistically lined. Floors and ceilings can also be done. Depends on if you're on a slab, or if you have a crawl space, or if attic space above it, or maybe it's another room above it, depending on what level of protection you are looking at there, which is usually determined by the security consultant on site with working with us. We'll give ideas and examples, and they determine how far they want to build out the room.
So when you talk about the door and the basic requirement being the door, are you talking door and jamb manufactured together? Or is it a stand it, it, 'cause it's not a standard jamb, right?
No, this would be, we would like you to use a sliding pocket door in all instances, just that the security level of it is higher than that of a swing door. In some instances, you just don't have the room, and we can accommodate a swing door there as well. But if we can, you put in the slider, which will, the wall will be 6 inches thicker there than standard. So you're not losing a ton of room in there. And with that, you're having a sliding pocket door that's just always open. You can have your everyday use door that you walk in and out of the closet or laundry room with, and it's not a heavy security door that becomes unwieldy or dangerous to pets, children, fingers. So you're just using it as an everyday space, and there's really not anything different until you turn around and grab your handle and slide the pocket door shut, magnetically locking and sealing you in there, which has its whole steel system, steel strike column, steel head track. That's where it all begins. When that door is shut, that's when you're safe, that's when you're secure.
When the door shuts, then what? Is there an air filtration system? Is there comms? Are there comms? Is there a Wi-Fi? Is there a food supply? Is there a bathroom? What's the next step?
Those are all great questions that we address during it. A lot of times you'll have access to a bathroom, so you have running water and or a toilet there. If not, then we have an additional extra product sheet that we supply, recommending gas masks, portable toilet system, emergency food, flashlights, first aid, batteries. Mm-hmm. So we add all that as extra things we suggest you have in the room, just in case. As for air filtration, usually the general contractor, if they're looking at creating an air system, creating positive air within the room, so it's a higher pressure, so you're not getting aerosols or contaminants shot in underneath a door or through a vent, you can keep it a high pressure system that keeps it out. Although that can be hard to do at times, that's why we offer the gas masks if that is necessary. Back to when our door shuts, it'll magnetically lock. You don't have to turn a button. You don't have to worry about, okay, I shut a door. What do I do now to lock this? It's just there. You shut, click, you're locked in. A security camera that is hardwired to the inside comes on. So you have a monitor on the inside that's not picked up on Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or the security shack anywhere. So you have a hardwired system there so you can see what's going on outside of the room. We also advise your on-site security contractor to put the iPad in there with camera views of the rest of the home, if possible, so you can monitor other areas. But at least with ours, you're seeing right outside the door to know what's going on outside of it. You get a knock on the door, it's police, you want them to verify. You want to see the badge number. You want to see something that's going to tell you that, yes, this is who they say they are. Also with that, lights come on in the room. So if power gets cut, this is all battery backed up within the safe room with you. So you have a light source. Last thing you want is in there all of a sudden it's dark. That's going to scare the principals. So you have the interior lighting that you can turn off or on from the inside. And there'll be a deterrent siren on the outside just to hit a button and create loud noise right outside of it to deter someone from continuing to try to get through the door. The door on the outside is, we prefer it be left a bare steel door, no handles. You can't tell which way the door moves. You don't really know how it operates. That's just more confusion for someone on the outside trying to get in.
And I mean, look, let's be honest about this. There are reasons why someone would want a safe room. Either you're concerned because you're a person of interest, a public figure, someone who would be a target for kidnapping, or it's due to possessions. So it's not the person, but it's the possessions that they want. Does that also factor in to how you arrange a safe room? So for instance, you've got a safe in the safe room. If it's broken into, that the door can be operated remotely to then lock someone into the space. Is that part of this, or is that something different?
No, that would be something different. We prefer our sliders to be manual. The handle that you grab and slide, they're on a roller system that's light enough for a child to be able to shut the door. And the reason we really push for the manual system is if you get into an automated door, where you press the button and the motor's going to turn it and lock it down, you're dealing with a computer system that, you never know when there's going to be a glitch. You never know when it's going to lose its memory and have to be reset. And you don't want that slight percentage to be the one time you actually need the room. Everybody can grab a handle and slide. And it's usually a little quicker than the automated doors can actually move, because we're trying to move a large mass a short distance to ramp it up and ramp it down. So just by hand is ideal and what we want to do.
So a safe room's for person, not for property. I mean, that's the primary.
That's what it's built for, and that's what it's primarily for, although we do have clients that use it for property. We don't advise it just for the instance of, okay, you're going out for the day, for the weekend, you shut the safe room door to lock your valuables in. What happens if you come home, you come in the garage, and you see someone slide under that garage door, and you run for that safe room? It's closed. Yes, you can open it. It's going to take you some extra time, but that might not be the extra time that you need to get in there and secure yourself.
So in the design process, do you separate person and property? Do you put property, the safe, in a separate place than the safe room in order to divert them from coming after you to go after the stuff?
That's really dependent upon the client and their desires, and it's the security contractor that they're using. Oftentimes, they are in one space, and when the person goes in there, they're in there with the contents, whatever it may be. They'll really just depend upon the client and what their wants are.
And some of our clients are a little more realistic when we explain the situation to them. And they said, you know, everything's replaceable except your life. So we understand. And it's kind of up to them on how to use it. And really about where you're placing the safe room is, you got to think about where your living space is and where you spend most of your time. It's not uncommon to have a couple of safe rooms. One that's maybe a principal owner has an office downstairs to keep quiet and do a lot of work from home. That area needs to be secured if somebody's in there most of the time, as opposed to just the master bedroom where you're worried at night, the alarm's going to go off. You go in and go into lockdown.
So I'm curious, you've mentioned a security consultant a couple of times. I'm curious, can a residential homeowner work with a designer or architect who works with you so you can advise and consult an architect or a designer so that the designer can incorporate a safe room into a residential project that they're working on?
Absolutely. Yeah. From all aspects, the security consultant, the architect, the designer, even the GC on the build and the client, we prefer having them all in one. So the whole team knows what's going on. We're all on the same page, and usually projects go a little more smoothly when everyone's on the same page.
Does a security consultant, is that a requirement?
No.
For a project? It's not?
No, absolutely okay. Not. It's just with our clientele, it usually is a security consultant that's being brought in. And they bring us in, think of security levels as an onion. And we're the last layer inside. You don't want anyone ever to be outside that door because you have the other layers of security. Depending on the client, you could have perimeter security, outside fence security, dogs, on-site security that lives on. Think of a CEO office. Somebody's outside the door. You get security out front saying, hey, there's an unidentified person. We're not sure what's going on. Send the principal into lockdown. Boom. Then you've got somebody the outside that if it is a threat, has to get through that security level into the building through multiple other areas of lockdown all the way to a client. And we do that with homes too, but not all of them are that way. It could be just a homeowner that has a regular alarm system that doesn't have on-site security, but wants to be able to lock down in case something happens. In case the alarm goes off at night, just go in until you get an all clear or you can figure it out. So
they have their security, their onion, they have their cameras for the exterior of the property. They have their alarm system on the house. So they're aware of what's going on if something is triggered. Then they can go to the safe room itself and be able to monitor the entire situation from inside and then make the calls to the authorities or whoever they may be when needed to contact to remedy the situation.
Because it's typically you're looking at a place to lock down for your security or police to arrive. Like you said, they're not going to prevent something from happening. You want to prevent someone from getting to you, even though somebody's in the house already. And so locking in a safe room for more than 15 minutes means you don't have the police response or your security is not there. Normally, it'd be less time than that when you would have responses. Now, if we're dealing with homes that are mountain homes, anywhere where, police response, you're looking in an hour, you've got one sheriff in the county that's on at night. Then those rooms tend to be bulked up with level 8 going to a much thicker, much more secure for a longer lockdown. So and we work with everyone on that to see what your need and desire is and to scale it properly.
So a couple of follow-ups to that. So basically, we're talking about an insurance policy, in essence, right?
Hope you never use it. Yes.
Yeah, because it's not performative in nature. I mean, it is when you need it, but prior to that, it doesn't keep the house cooler. It doesn't keep the house warmer. It's right. An insurance policy. So yeah. Talk to me a little bit about materiality. So the materials that you're using, not just on the door itself, but throughout the whole space. And what does a level 8 look like? What do additional levels look like? Like, what would you call, I think we got the basic, right? Level 3.
Level 3.
And then what does that incrementally look like?
When you're building out walls and even putting the core of the door, a level 3 is going to be a 1/2 inch thick material that's resin, fiberglass. It's layered, and it's, think of it like drywall sheets, but it looks different. So 1/2 inch, 4x8 sheet, 4x9, 4x10, that's what you're going to build the room with. And then you're going to put drywall up over that on top of that. So the room just has a normal aesthetic. It's just a regular room.
You would never know our rooms are what they are when you look at them. And that's part of what really is the beauty of the design, is that it's seamless. It's not something that's obtrusive. It's there when you need it. It works simply, and it's easy to maintain.
And then if you step up to level 8, you're basically tripling the level 3. It's about 1.5 inches of material. Very heavy panels. A lot of times we'll just triple up level 3 because it's easier to do than taking a 4x8 sheet that weighs 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so that goes off of the UL ratings. So the level 8 is rated for NATO rounds, 7.62 and 5.56, commonly known as an AR-15 or an AR-10 rifle. That's what that's built for multiple rounds within a small section. You step down to level 3, that's rated for almost all handguns on the market, up to a 44 Magnum is stopped by level 3. And that's what you're most likely going to see in a city type, maybe home invasion or break-in. The odds someone carrying a rifle in there are not as high because they're looking at snatch, grab stuff. They're going to have a pistol or two. So that's most common. But if you go to vacation homes or remote locations, that's where you step up to level 8s. Or, you know, if someone just wants that extra layer of security, like, I want it built out that big, then absolutely, we'll work with you. No problem. All depends on your desires. But I would say probably 75% is a level 3 is the most common build.
Talk to me a little bit about the process. So in working with a residential homeowner and their designer, and I lean in a little heavier on the designer, because, you know, when you have an interior designer or an architect and you have a residential client, and there's an opportunity for that professional to say, hey, listen, you know, here's an option for your safety and security. Is that something, you know, I'm here in Tulsa, where the crime is a lot lower than in some other cities, like in Atlanta or a Chicago or an LA or a New York. So I would imagine that, you know, certain levels of individuals would want certain levels of protection based geographically on where, you know, you're in Oregon. I imagine that the crime level is a lot lower there, unless you're in Portland. But
right. But
that being said, I think that there is an education level for designers and architects that could really take advantage of what you do. Talk to me about the process, an onboarding, if you will.
Okay.
Do you do CEUs or seminars or education meetings for designers, architects, where you just educate them on the prospects of what you do as it may relate to the projects that they're working on?
We don't have anything set up where we do that or invite people to do that, but we do that. Let's say we're brought in by the security consultants or architects or designers that are familiar with us. It's a lot of repeat business. We don't have a large advertising footprint because it is the security industry knowing who we are and coming to us. So let's say you're a new designer with a client that wants something and you're not really familiar what's going on. You reach out to us. It would be Matt and I. We would, in our display room, set up a Zoom meeting, show you our products, show you the sliding door, and show you wall build outs, like, you know, entry level resistance, and explain what that, what kind of time that would buy, what that's going to do for you, the different ballistic layers on what those do, security levels on that, and just give you different scenarios of what could happen if the follow in, or if you have a break in, or if you're away, someone comes in, what's going to happen. And then we kind of just walk with them. The client or designer might have their own questions, their own scenarios. Well, they're really worried about, this is what's scaring them. What can we do? And we just walk through different scenarios of that, explaining, this is what you would need to do. This is the best situation for that. Maybe your safe room where you're thinking of putting it here isn't the best idea because your family's going to be here most of the time. Let's look at changing an area or adding another room. So that all starts with that. Mm-hmm. And from there, then we start getting in with the architect on build out and size of the room itself, the opening. And from there, I work with them building a proposal to give pricing to the team. And they go from there and they can go, yeah, this is good. Or, well, the client's budget doesn't fit this. What can we do so we can still make this work? And when there's a lot of back and forth. And
we could suggest alternate spaces. We can suggest wall build outs based upon what they would like, whether it is a plywood mesh situation just for resistance to break in, or a ballistically lined room. We can tailor it.
Yeah, in the direction like, they like the ceiling. Do you really need ballistic on the ceiling? The crawl space is narrow. You're not worried about that. You're worried about someone breaking in. Let's put secure mesh up there. Just add another layer, and someone's up there, you can actually hear them that they're up there. That'll save the save for less ballistic panels, less work to do that. You know, a typical build out of a room, you know, let's say a 10 by 12 closet with a sliding door and ballistically lining it, you're averaging around $50,000. So that's just a ballpark on it. And that's all materials and us there, but you're also going to have your team putting it in. So there'll be additional construction costs on top of that.
So talk to me about that. What is the level? I almost want to give it a 1 to 5 hammers, like least difficult to most difficult. It sounds like it's a very straightforward project. It sounds like it's something that any construction team could do without being trained to do it.
Yes. So a typical build out, let's say we went along the process and we got everything done and we built your sliding door system, sent out the panels. We don't need to be on site for the room to be built out with the ballistic panels because you hang them like drywall. We send sheets, explanation, tools to use, how to cut properly. The room gets built out. Now you're talking that our door system's coming in. What needs to happen there? Matt and I accompany that door for the install. We supervise the install because we're not a construction company, but we come on site with specialized tools that we work with your construction guys. If you have 2 competent framers that you could give us for 2 days, it's done. And it's just making sure everything goes in step by step. It's not difficult, but there's a lot of small steps that get missed if we don't walk you through it and are there to make sure everything gets done properly. That way we can warranty everything as well and make sure it is secure. It is properly installed.
So a couple of questions. So the paneling, can that be cut with a standard circular saw, or are there specialty tools required?
Prefer those be cut outside with water to keep down the dust because it's like a fiberglass material. You want to have like a Tyvek suit and a mask so you're not breathing it, and a circular saw with a diamond blade is what's done. That's what that's cut with.
We've seen them with, you can go as simple as just a circular saw with water, cutting it that way, but there's also sort of saw systems out there that have dust containment systems, but really anybody can install this stuff.
So from a material standpoint, just to clarify, so the ballistic material is not, it's not bouncing off, it's encapsulating.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It starts, yeah, encapsulating and building and building. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, you were going to say something, Garrett. I stepped on you.
Oh, the cutting of the material and stuff is not fun. Usually if you get a drywall company that says, yeah, we'll do that. We'll add a few hours to do that. It's probably the last time they're going to do it. So, that's the worst part of it. We've been down and dirty in it. We don't like touching it. It's
just part of it.
It's just part of it. The door system installing and all like that actually can be fun. I would say almost all the time you end up with a good crew and some guys that are at the beginning like, well, we could put this in. And then when we're all said and done, they're like, hey, this was great. Yeah, there was some stuff we didn't even realize you had to do. And it made sense. You know, we appreciate you guys coming out. And it really works well and smooth. Like I said, it's not complicated, but you want to make sure that it's done exactly the way it's supposed to be done. You're not missing any steps. And then we do all the low voltage wiring, hooking up the wires and the training of, once it's all up and running, we'll either train the client or we'll train the on-site security team or whoever's going to be with the client, maybe an estate manager. You know, a lot of clients want to be behind the scenes and don't want to be out there, which is completely understandable. And so we do the training with whoever needs to be there. And then we also have a maintenance program that we go and follow up every 2 years, replace the battery in the system, run systems checks on everything and keep it all up and running. And if, let's say, a power supply happened to fail, you got it covered. We're out there no matter where you're at. We're swapping out. No cost to you. It's all part of the warranty, the two-year system. And that way we keep everything maintained and making sure everything's working and you're safe. So you got the peace of mind. The guys are out here. We know everything's good. There's no worries.
And just to sort of circle back on this, this is not a DIY project.
No.
That being said, we have supervised smaller projects where it is just one carpenter and Garrett and I on the, but absolutely, you need somebody in there to be able to do the installation properly.
Let's see. We go back years. Some people were trying to put the stuff in themselves, and we go out to do the electronics or hook up. And I can't say there was one project that we were like, wow, you hit everything on the head. This is great. There was always, here's your leftover parts. And we're like, these aren't leftover parts. And now we can't go back and put these in unless you want to tear everything down. So there is a reason we're out there. Some people balk at it like, do you really need to come out and do this? And I'm like, yeah, we do. We want to make sure your security is what we're providing. We want to make sure you're getting the highest level. And some people are like, oh, please come out. Absolutely. We want you there. You have both ends of it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's a pocket door, but it's not your standard pocket door. We typically deal with carpenters or finished carpenters going, oh, I put in pocket doors the whole time. By the time they get done with the project, they're like, oh, okay, never mind. I've never done like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm thinking about like any lighting project or anything where you wind up with the two nuts and three bolts extra. It's like, no, that's not supposed to be there.
Something's,
yeah. Do you, it's really interesting to me. What have you seen from the business standpoint? You mentioned that you don't advertise much, and I get that. And word of mouth, do you work through a retailer system? Do you do an internal to external outreach program to get new business? Because you're in Oregon, slightly remote, you know, how do you engage with the design, architecture, builder communities in other major cities? And what have you seen as far as a ramping up of the business in recent years, as far as additional projects and what's being asked of you? Is this something that is gaining popularity?
Okay. Gaining popularity. Definitely. We have our website is, if you go there, which is being, as we speak, completely revamped to really narrow in to what we do and our product. So we're hoping that's going to be live by the end of this month. Might be a little bit longer, but shouldn't be too much longer than that. And from that website, we're going to create basically brochures that are simple, quick, and easy to read that we can reach out to designer and architects to doing a little bit of a push, which we've never really done in the past because it is word of mouth, and we are out there with, we cross paths with a lot of guys a lot of times. We'll have a designer or architect reaching out and going, hey, you know, so-and-so told us to reach out to you. And I'm like, oh yeah, we've worked with them many, many times. And they said, okay, they recommended you to come in and do this. And then we start at square one because we haven't worked with that designer or architect before, walk them through everything. But we really haven't had to reach out a lot, but we are going to. We're going to do a small push with, I guess you would call it advertising, with sending, reaching out to certain architects, designers in that platform. We're very specialized and it is higher end. We're not looking at the everyday homeowner, me, Maddie, like, yeah, we're going to go to Safe Room and do that. It's, you know, you can spend $50,000 and have a whole new garage as opposed to, you know, just a Safe Room where we're at. So clientele tends to be higher end clientele. You know, a lot of times we'll get a call through the website and ask, hey, I want a door, I want to do this. What's your price start at? You know, we're basically starting at $25,000 on that. It's like, wait, you mean $2,500? And I'm like, no, it's $25,000. They're like, oh yeah, no, we were looking for a door, just a couple grand on. I'm like, okay, no, that, we understand that, and that's what your budget, and that's great, but we're
typically working in Seattle, West Coast, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, Malibu, Manhattan, Florida,
DC,
a lot of the areas where you're seeing affluent customers, if you will, principals. And that has been, it's a small community, believe it or not. And we've been doing business for so long now that they know who we are and what we've done. And the word of mouth has really been what has spread our business for us and made us successful.
I'm curious. Do you work on schools?
No, we haven't worked on schools. We've talked about it with some different schools before.
Is it too expensive? Is it cost prohibitive?
I think a school wouldn't have the budget for that. And you're talking about, you want to lock down. Well, you got to lock down every room with kids.
40 classrooms, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Yeah. And I know we've had stuff referred to us before where it's school specific, a wall that pulls out that the kids can bunker in that has a bullet resistance and like that. And I think those ideas are really good because it's a simpler idea and probably can be budgeted.
Mm-hmm. There is definitely, as we know, a need for something like that. The idea is absolutely perfect. There needs to be something like that available. The logistics, however, will be very overwhelming, I think, to begin with, until a regular system of some sort is put together that will allow anybody to put it in and be able to use it easily.
Yeah, you're talking how many windows got to be secured with it, wall-to-wall classrooms, they get through one, can they get through a wall to another one? If we were going to build it to our specification that we build for clients, I think it would be astronomical for, you know, a school with mm-hmm. 25 classrooms mm-hmm. and hallways and offices.
On a large scale, something like that, it would be something more towards, I'd hate to say, like a bunker or something like that, or some sort of specific area that is only used for that. Maybe a large gymnasium or something like that, where it'd be easier to protect that way and lock down a big group.
Then you're thinking of moving all those kids into that room. But if you have somebody who are on site, you don't want anybody moving. You want everyone locked down. So it's something we've talked with many times.
Do you, just out of curiosity, do you know a couple of things? First of all, do you know what the residual value is on a resale value perspective? Do you have any stats on resale value for this? Like, some people will tell you, if you do a kitchen, you'll get, you know, 110% back of what you spent on it or something of that nature. Do you have any stats? Do you know?
No, I have no stats on the monetary value of kickback on it from a Safe Room. Although I know that would be, in today's age, a probably a pretty big selling point.
Absolutely.
But we also have clients that have us remove the safe room system from a house they're selling because they do not want that system to be there for our next owners to come and understand how that works and know that they probably have it at the next home.
Interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Is there an insurance benefit?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. I would think if you were going to use it for valuables, you might be able to get an insurance. I don't know. It's like having an alarm system. You get a discount. Maybe if you're going to use the safe room as a lockdown for valuables, which we do not recommend, although we definitely know that it's being used for that for, you know, some people that's what they want to protect. But I have not heard anything from the insurance side of things, whether or not they're offering discounts if you have a safe room.
Yeah, it's just, you know, what's really surprising to me is especially going back to the start of this conversation where you talk about, you know, Israel, where every home has one of these. It's not, you know, we talk on the design side and architecture side, we talk about luxury all the time, right? And luxury materiality and in features and in performance. And, you know, luxury is a part of the conversation all the time. But where luxury meets necessity, it kind of feels like, not to be doom and gloom here, but it feels like we're kind of on the tipping point of when something that is it's a luxury becomes a necessity. And it feels like we're kind of getting there. Does it feel like that to you too?
Yeah, it does.
We absolutely get that brought up to it all the time. The first thing people say is when we tell them what we do is that, oh, you guys must be busy. Things must be picking up for you. And we do see it picking up to a certain extent, but I don't think it's the same concern level that many people have. Many people will talk about it. As we're actually doing it, though, it's always like, it's put off. And I guess maybe it's the areas you're coming from. Like in Southern California, where we do quite a bit of work, it's a little bit more scary down there for some people, and they're more actively preparing for some sort of situation. Whereas in more rural areas, they typically like to take care of it themselves. We hear that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, my wife can shoot. I'm like, great. I'm sure she can, but do you want her to square off, or would you rather be in a secure room locked down?
Exactly. We don't want to put them in that position. Why put them in that position?
Yeah.
It's really funny, not funny, haha, but interesting, because you're in this industry where if somebody is selling furniture, furnishings, they're promoting their product all day long on social media. Like, look at this project. Oh. Look what it does. Here, we're going to open the drawers. We're going to show you case goods. We're going to show you how it works. You guys, you can't really do that. You don't really know who's got, and by design, right? You don't know absolutely who's got a safe room and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Let's say our clients would prefer us not to advertise. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing with the revamping of our website, working with the new team that we were doing with that with. We had, you know, 100 items they wanted to talk about, and we weeded that down to 10. 90 of those we can't say. We're not giving that. That's proprietary information. We can't. They're like, well, this is making it very interesting to try to promote your product, but you can't talk about it. I'm like, yes.
It certainly ties your hands.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's like I said, like our clients removing safe rooms from their homes or selling because they don't want that to be out there. For the next people to know, oh, they have this here, that's there. Oh, I know how to use this now. Or
yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about our conversation recently. I was watching a movie with the family. So funny. It was a new Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon movie. It was not a good movie, and I'm not recommending the movie. But what was really interesting, it was, you know, apocalyptic, and towards the, you know, at the end, you find out that this one family had a safe room, actually this whole bunker installed, and made everyone sign NDAs in advance so that, you know, they're not talking about it. And I'm sure that you probably run into something similar.
Every project starts with an NDA.
It does.
Even if you're reaching out to me on it and we want to talk about the project, the first thing I'll say is, do you have an NDA to send over? just because maybe they're forgetting, because that's always in play. And that was a big question. Oh, you do safe rooms. Do you do it for, I'm like, the UN was the only one that gave us permission to go ahead and let everyone know that we could do it. Right. Other than that, it's like, sorry, we do all walks of life.
Well, and I say that just to kind of put a bow on this and sort of wrap it up a little bit. This is one of those things that I think is a scary prospect. You know, it's something that when people think about it, they don't want to do. It's almost like insurance, right? You don't want to do it, but you're doing it for a certain purpose. It seems a little scary. It seems really technical and detailed. What would you like people to know about the process and about what you do that you think maybe they don't know?
One of the keys is that it is a custom process, that this is made directly to fit into where you want it. It's not, you don't have to decide which product you're going to buy from us because you're limited on what you can do. So everything is custom. Each project is different.
And we don't want this to be a something that's cumbersome, that is in your face, that's always a reminder of what could happen. We want it to be there for when it does happen. It's seamless, it's simple to use. You have that peace of mind that you don't have to think about it. You go in your room, you protect yourself, and you protect your family.
It's not a room you walk by and like, oh, there's the safe room. You know, it's just your everyday room. And pretty soon, you know, that pocket door just disappears from your everyday use, but you know it's there, but it's not a reminder.
It's part of your, everybody should have a plan. Whether there's a house fire, whether there's some sort of situation that needs to be taken care of, and you need to practice that plan. And part of that plan is, if you do have any safe rooms, the use of this room is second nature. You know where everything's at. You know what you're going to do in case something does happen.
Yeah. The alarm system goes off. You don't go looking for what caused it. Everyone goes into the safe room. And that's it.
And then you figure it out.
And Then you figure it out, because you know you're separated. If there is a viable threat, you are now separated from it. Chances are it might not be, but you're not going to take that chance by going and looking. Let me go downstairs with the flashlight. Did someone break in that door? No, you go down, you just lock in immediately. Aesthetics is big. It's not something that you're going to be like, there's the safe room, or there's a big vault door. Nothing like that.
That's the sure giveaway.
Yes.
Big vault door with a big dial on it.
Yeah.
Now there's some people that absolutely want that, because that's just how they roll.
Yeah.
But for the majority of our clients, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. So listen, Garrett, Matt, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this, and I appreciate the time, and I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Sure. This is not going to be a one-off, one and only conversation. I'm going to come back to you guys, and I'd like to have more conversations about this in the future, because it's really important, and I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you bringing us on.
Yeah,
it's great.
And if we do this in the future, when we do this in the future, we'd like to have a full walkthrough of a display room there, so you have an idea of exactly how our products work, what they look like, what you need to do to use them. Go on, yours.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, Matt, with Safe Room, for your time and expertise. This was part of a series that we will be continuing live from the Design Hardware showroom in Los Angeles. Check out the Instagram feed at Design Hardware for more information as it's released. Thank you, Michelle Solomons and Avi Balsam with Design Hardware, for your continued and unwavering support of the design and architecture community. And thank you for listening to the podcast. I love hearing from you, love learning about new products and guests you think should be featured on the podcast. So email me, convobydesign@outlook.com, with ideas and suggestions. Until the next episode, be well.